This week, December 31st, 2013, on The Digital Story, the top 10 photo products of 2013. On the Nimbelocity Report, hands-on with the Olympus FL300R electronic flash. From the Photo Help Desk, exposure tips for mini studio product shots. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. It's the last show of the year. That's right, the last show of 2013. Next week, we embark upon 2014. So I want to take this opportunity to wish you a Happy New Year. And I think 2014 is going to be exciting in the world of photography. And I hope you spend or share some of that excitement with me as we go down this path of discovery together. But before we do that, let's take a look at some of the highlights from this year, 2013, because it was exciting. I mean, there were a lot of things this year that really excited me, pleased me, and tools that I'm using right now that I enjoy very much. Now, I have my 10 favorites. They're not necessarily in a top 10 order here. Probably the products I favor more, a little bit more on top, but all 10 of these products are outstanding. And let's get started with the first one. And I would have to say that this was the big news in 2013. The Sony A7R full frame, 36.3 megapixel, interchangeable lens, digital camera. And I'll tell you, Sony really did an amazing thing here by taking a body that's really the size of the mirrorless cameras that we've been using for the last couple of years and figuring out a way to do full frame photography in there and figure out the lenses that go with it. And, you know, this is going to be the beginning of something. I don't know exactly what, but I do know that this is a groundbreaking camera, the Sony A7R. It's got to be, I think, on anyone's list for best products for 2013, and it certainly is on mine. Now, having said that, I don't own the A7R, and I may not even buy one. Maybe I'll buy one up the road or a different model. There are a few things, just practically speaking, for someone like me who shoots a lot. The amount of glass available for it, not very much. And, you know, there are certain types of lenses that I need. A flash system I haven't really had a chance to explore. So there's a lot of practical things about it. And, you know, in all honesty, I'm not sure how often I need a full frame camera. I do sometimes, and I have my Canons, but regardless of all that, regardless of my everyday practicality, you've got to say, wow, tip your hat to Sony. The A7R is an amazing feat, technically, and I think we're going to see some fantastic imagery from it in 2014. Next on my list, and I do have this one, the Canon EOS 70D 20.2 megapixel DSLR camera. It's an APS-C sensor, not a full frame sensor. It replaced my 60D. I sold the 60D so I could use the 70D. And the thing about this camera for me, the reason why I love it and I think it deserves to be on the top 10 list for this year. First of all, they really did figure out autofocusing for both still and video in the same camera. And, you know, it's always been kind of a tease to have live view on our DSLR cameras and not have it really work the way that we want it to work. The 70D solves that. It's got this beautiful articulated screen that you can flip out at any angle. It performs well. It takes great shots. I just think that in a lot of ways, to me, it's one of the cameras that shows the evolution, how far we have come in the APS-C sensor DSLRs. I think when I look back, I'll say, you know, the 70D was one of those cameras where I looked at it and said, wow, this is what this type of DSLR can do. And so it's a wonderful camera, and it certainly deserves to be on the top 10 list. Next item, the Apple iPad Mini with Retina display. Now, this was a toughie for me, and a toughie in the sense that the new iPad Air that came out in 2013 is also an amazing device, an amazing tablet. It's the bigger tablet, it's the full size. The iPad Mini is the smaller size. The iPad Air actually has a little bigger color gamut. But the thing about the Mini for me, and the reason why I prefer it over the Air for what I do, is that I get an amazing screen, terrific performance, fantastic applications. It works well within the ecosystem that I work, and it fits in any camera bag that I want to use. And I'm going to talk about my favorite camera bag. I actually had a camera bag make the top 10 list here. So to me, in terms of an all-around device, I love the iPad Mini with Retina display. I just got back from a road trip. I mean, literally just got back. I was in Southern California this morning, and I'm in my studio. I've been in my studio now for about 45 minutes before recording this podcast. And so I was using the Mini all weekend. It saved me a couple times. It saved me from bad hotel Wi-Fi. I did some postings from it. I used it constantly, and I just love it. I just think it's fantastic. And for me, it's one of the wonderful products of 2013. And I think for other people who like the bigger size, I think they would feel the same way about the Air. Both of them, terrific. Next on the list, the Olympus 75mm f1.8, the black version of the prime lens. Now, Olympus had come out with a silver version of this lens, I think right at the end of 2012. And I was disappointed because the cameras that I wanted to put it on were mainly black camera. I mean, my black OMD, and, you know, subsequently now the EM1. And, you know, it's funny about lenses. The black ones, to me, look good on both the silver bodies and the black bodies, but the silver lenses only look good on the silver bodies. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think other people feel the same way. In 2013, Olympus brought out black versions of both the 75 f1.8, I believe also the 17 millimeter f1.8 and the 12 millimeter f2, black versions of all those. So those of us that do like to shoot with black cameras, or at least have them in our arsenal, we have a lens that looks good on there. This is a wonderful lens, as you know from other podcasts. I think it's probably one of my favorite lenses of 2013, period. I got the lens hood for it, the metal lens hood for it, for Christmas, as a matter of fact. Oh my gosh, does it ever look good? And it reverses, which I like. It reverses over the back of it. So it definitely, this lens made my top 10 list. I love it. And thank you, Olympus, for bringing out the black version in 2013. By the way, I have links to all of these in the show notes. So they're all hyperlinked. So if you want to see exactly what I'm talking about, all you got to do is go to the show notes, click on it. Click on, you know, whichever item you're interested in, and it'll take you right to where you want to go. Next item, a camera bag made the list. The Lowepro Urban Reporter 150. This camera bag, I mean, Lowepro came out with a lot of terrific camera bags this year, as did all the majors, Tamrac, Think Tank. It was a good year for camera bags. It really was. But this Urban Reporter 150 is the one that I just carry with me constantly. Again, I've talked about it before. Between it and the Nimble Photographer shoulder bag, which I keep in my suitcase, But the Urban Reporter 150 is the one that's full all the time. I have my Olympus gear in there. I have the Fuji X20 in there. I have the Canon S110 in there. And my iPad mini fits there. All sorts of goodies. It looks good. It's light on my shoulders. I never get tired when I'm wearing that bag. And it's just easy to use. It's just a terrific bag. Probably my favorite camera bag in recent history. And that's saying something, because there are a lot of bags that have come out in the last couple of years that I like. This one's my favorite. It came out in 2013, the Lowepro Urban Reporter 150. And I just love it. Especially as an everyday shoulder bag. Next on the list is what I call a semi-compact camera. It's the Fujifilm X20 12 megapixel digital camera. And I was just shooting with it today, actually. And, you know, this is an interesting camera to me. First of all, there's a couple things it doesn't have. It doesn't have built-in Wi-Fi, for example. It doesn't have very long battery life. You have to have a couple batteries if you're going to be shooting heavily with it. But what it does have, I absolutely love, which is great image quality. Has the new X-Trans sensor developed by Fujifilm. It's a little bit larger sensor than I have in my Canon S110 or my iPhone. So it's a bigger sensor. It has a beautiful lens. It's a handsome camera. I love the way the controls are on it. It's one of my favorite cameras to shoot with in terms of controlling the camera. And it has an optical viewfinder that I think is very good. And, you know, on a compact camera, having an optical viewfinder or an electronic viewfinder, either one of those, for me, as I've talked about this off and on, I have to have one of those two. I have a hard time going off LCD only for a camera that I'm going to use in all conditions and a camera that I'm really going to depend on. The Fujifilm X20, I just think they did a fantastic job with it. I anticipate at CES coming up that we'll probably see an updated version to this camera. I'm hoping that they add Wi-Fi. I think that's a necessity at this point. It would be nice to see if they could do something to improve the battery life a bit. And it'd be nice to see whatever else that they can do with it. There's not much else I would add to the list, in all honesty. And I still have the metal lens cap that came with it. A lot of people say, well, you know, that's something you're going to lose right away. I haven't. I have it, and I love the way the metal lens cap works on it. I have the metal lens hood with the filter adapter, so I can use it for infrared photography. I can put a polarizer on it. I just very much enjoy this camera. I have the traditional plunger-style cable release that screws in to the shutter button that has a threaded socket in it, and I just love using it. I just love using that cable release. Fun camera, takes amazing pictures, and it definitely, despite its lack of having Wi-Fi, deserves to be on the top 10 list of the year. Next is the Apple iPhone 5S. It's a very good phone with an excellent camera. And again, it integrates well into my iOS system and my OS X system. And I just, you know, in the time that I've had, I just haven't had any problems with it. And there have been times when I've been absolutely blown away by the pictures that it takes. And, you know, that's something. You know, when you take a shot with your camera phone and you're looking at it later, a lot of times I'm looking at it later on the iPad mini, I'm editing it or something, and you just go, wow, I really like that photograph. And the tones are beautiful. The color is spot on. It's crisp and sharp, and you realize that you captured it with the iPhone and not with another digital camera and streamed it to the iPad. That, you know, that's something. That really tells you why compact cameras have struggled the last couple of years because these phones are so good and because we can choose the interfaces that we want for them by the different camera apps that are available, and that we can do the editing right on them with applications like iPhoto for iOS or Snapseed or Photogene. They're good stuff. And the iPhone 5S, the improvements that they made in the camera without messing anything up, I think it really, for me, is definitely one of the top 10 products of the year. And I'm very happy using it. And I think I will be for the next couple years. Next on the list, this one might surprise you a bit. The Pentax K3 DSLR 24 megapixel camera. I didn't think Pentax got enough recognition for this camera. I like how Pentax makes their top of the line cameras. They feel so good, so solid. They take excellent pictures. They have a variety of controls that you don't always see on cameras at a comparable level. You know, things like multiple exposure and built-in HDR. You're seeing the built-in HDR now, but Pentax was ahead of the pack on that for sure. And, they make lenses that are weather-resistant at an affordable price. You know, they're just good cameras. And when Pentax came out with the, what I call the anti-aliasing simulator for this camera, the K3, where basically not only can you shoot essentially without an anti-aliasing filter between the sensor and the lens, or you can have the effect of anti-aliasing, and then you can have it in degrees between not at all and full strength. That is really impressive, and it works. It absolutely works. Plus, everything else about the camera works. And then they came out, oh man, I tell you, you know, do you ever have that product that just sits in an open window on your browser forever, and you just want to spend the money on it, you just want it so bad, but you know it's not in the budget, or you can't really justify it? I have one of those products, and that product for me has been the Pentax 20 to 40 millimeter f/2.8 to f/4. Zoom that they came out with just a few months ago. And it's only been available here in the U.S. for, I think, like a month or so. It's a $1,000 lens. You know, it has the weather resistance. It has all the top of the line optical coatings and design. It's light, but it's all metal. It just looks killer beautiful. And it's a red line lens. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So I've been envisioning it would be great on my existing Pentax bodies right now, but I was really thinking, wouldn't that lens be wonderful to have on the K3? I would really like that. But I just haven't been able to pull the trigger yet because it duplicates, you know, capabilities that I have with my Canon kit and to some degree even my Olympus cameras. But anyway, I think that K3 is a terrific camera. And if you do shoot in situations where you need a weather-resistant body, this is one of the ones that I would look at, not only because the K3 itself is such a good camera and it has a lot of innovation in it, but also because you can get weather-resistant lenses for it at a fairly affordable price. And I'm talking about, you know, $200 to $300 range for some of their zoom lenses. So anyway, the K3... I think it should be one of the top 10 products of 2013. It's on my list, and personally, I like to see it on more lists. We're down to number 9 on the list. Number 9. This is a lens by Sigma that I got to test for really not long enough before they made me send it back. C18 to 35 f/1.8 DC HSM zoom lens, and it's for APS-C DSLRs. I had it in the Canon mount. An 18 to 35 millimeter zoom that is f/1.8 all the way through the zooming range. It is a somewhat large lens, not too large, but you know, it's a big chunk there on your camera, but it's beautiful. It's well made. I shot with it, I have to tell you, basically F18 all the time. The only time I ever stopped down was for, you know, when I needed testing, when I was writing about it. But if I didn't need to stop down for some other reason, I shot basically at F18 and F2 all the time. And it was gorgeous. It's just a wonderful lens. And it's relatively affordable for what it is. It's right around $799 right now, US. And I just think that Sigma is doing some wonderfully creative things with their lenses and providing us with true alternatives to a lot of the glass that we have from our camera manufacturers. So the 18-35, definitely, I think, one of the top 10 products of 2013. It's a joy to use, and I wish they would let me keep it longer because I would have loved to take more pictures with it. And finally on our list, at number 10, as they say, last but not least, and this one has kind of snuck in just lately for me, and I think I didn't quite grasp what Panasonic had done with this camera when they came out with it, but now I'm really understanding what a cool thing they did, and I'm talking about the GM1, the Panasonic Lumix DMC GM1 compact system camera with the 12-32mm zoom lens that's designed specifically for this camera. This camera is small. I mean, it is compact camera size. It is small camera. The lens, the 12-32mm lens that they designed for it works with it wonderfully. And yet it has a 16-megapixel micro four thirds sensor in there. It has advanced electronics. It has built-in Wi-Fi. It takes great pictures, absolutely beautiful pictures. It doesn't have an electronic viewfinder, so you have to work off the LCD. But really what you're talking about is a camera that will fit in essentially the same space as, let's say, one of the Canon S cameras, like the S120 or whatever. It'll essentially fit in that same space. It's a little bit thicker, the Panasonic. Amazing what they've done with this camera. And of course, then the thing about it, unlike a lot of compact cameras that size, is that if you're already shooting micro four thirds, you can put other lenses on it. You're not stuck with the 12-32mm lens. You can put other lenses on it and use it with them. You could put, for instance, one of the body cap lenses on this, slip it in your camera bag and have it as a backup camera without it taking up hardly any room at all. So very impressive. The price now is, I've seen the price soften a bit, right around $749 or so US for the camera and the zoom lens. I'm guessing it might soften a bit more in the first quarter of 2014. But if you really need a compact camera that has interchangeable lenses, that takes great pictures, and especially if you're a micro four thirds shooter already, and something that will just fit practically anywhere, this GM1, Panasonic did a heck of a job with it. You know, if you would have asked me a couple weeks ago, it might not have made the list, but the more I studied it and I finally got to touch it, it won me over. It won me over, and it made it in. It made it in at the last minute, and that is the last of my top 10 entries for 2013. So we're talking about the Sony A7, the Canon 70D, the iPad mini with Retina display, the Olympus 75mm F1.8 black, the LowPro Urban Reporter 150. By the way, there's also a 250 and a 350 in that series. Fujifilm X20, iPhone 5S, Pentax K3, Sigma 18-35, zoom lens, and the Panasonic GM1. Tell me it wasn't a great 2013. These are beautiful products, and there are another 10 that I could add to this list if I wanted to do a top 20. So anyway, let's just hope they keep it rolling and that our 2014 is as exciting as what we've just experienced. On the Nimbleosity Report, from thenimblephotographer.com, I want to talk about, just for a second, because we're running a little long today because of the lineup from 2013. But this Olympus FL300R Compact Flash that I had written about, I think last week, I just started using it. I got it as a Christmas present for, you know, wow, how nice, huh? I had wanted it. I had put it on the list. And the reason why I'm bringing it up for this show is that I just got to use it for an event. My parents had their 60th anniversary, and I was the photographer. That's a shocker, right? I was the photographer for the anniversary celebration. And so I used it all day to cover this event. I used the bounce flash. I used it straight on. I used the diffuser for straight on portraits. You know what? It did really well. I was using it on an OMD EM5, and I just really was impressed. And it hardly takes up any room in my bag. I managed to fit it into my Lowepro Urban Reporter bag. The battery life was quite good. I'm using a rechargeable nickel metal hydride batteries, but the battery life was quite good on it. The flash output was excellent. It fires up quickly. It's for $139. I just thought it did the job for a flash that you can have with you all the time. And I didn't even use it in wireless mode for the event, but I could have if I, you know, because, you know, at the family reunion, I'm still, you know, family member. So I'm not in total serious photographer mode. But if I had been in total serious photographer mode and wanted to use off-camera flash, it does that also. So it's a good little flash. I think the price is right. I give it a thumbs up. And now, after looking at the shots from the event, I have to say it did a yeoman's job. I wouldn't use it for a professional wedding. I wouldn't use it for any professional assignment. But for these sort of things, like I did, you know, enthusiast work, it's a good little flash. And just have it with you all the time. Even if you have the bigger flashes, I think you don't have to carry them with you all the time if you have this in your camera bag. So I give it a very high Nimbulosity rating, and I like it a lot. And that's the Olympus FL300R Compact Flash. And from the Photo Help Desk, that's at photohelpdesk.com. We had a question this week that, you know, I think this happens to a lot of people because I've heard it discussed in passing where they're shooting with the mini studios, which are so wonderful. I love these little pop-up studios that are, you know, they're like a square that'll fit on top of any table, tabletop photography. You can shoot small items for eBay and shoot your camera equipment, all that kind of stuff. They have little sweeps in them. And most of the time people are shooting on a white background. And the problem that came up this week is, I think, a common problem where you're shooting with a camera with continuous lights and everything's a little, the background's a little gray and your subject's a little underexposed. And that's going to happen. It's just like shooting at the beach on a bright day. So your camera's calibrated for 18% gray. It sees this bright white, you know, when you're shooting with the mini studio. And it's basically going to underexpose that white to try to make it more gray because that's how it's calibrated. So what you have to do is just step in and go to exposure compensation, go to plus one. A lot of times I end up going to plus one and a third, and sometimes I've even gone to one and two thirds, depending on what the subject is, and just brighten everything back up. Just the exposure meter in your camera is essentially being fooled a bit. So you just have to step in there and override it. And the way that you keep everything nice and white and crisp and clean and exposed properly is just add a little exposure compensation, start at plus one, take a few shots, see how they look, and then, you know, push it up a bit from there if you need to. That will solve your problem. It's an easy fix. And then you can go on and make those really great shots with those tabletop studios. That's actually a nice segue for our photo assignment for January 2014. Our photo assignment is going to be white. White. interesting, huh? I've never done white. And there are so many directions that you can go with this. But the photo assignment for January 2014 is white. And of course, the photo assignment is sponsored by the good folks at SizzlePix, SizzlPix at SizzlePix.com. They also have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And one person from the photo assignment will be selected as the SizzlePix Pick of the Month, and they will get a free SizzlePix. And this is a wonderful thing. This is a beautiful thing because it is this polished aluminum. Your image is basically infused into the polished aluminum. You open it up when you get the box. You open it up, and right away it's going to pop out at you. And then, unlike, you know, other printing methods, you don't have to do anything. It comes ready to hang. It comes ready to hang. All you have to do is put a nail in the wall, and you can hang your SizzlePix immediately because they put all of the mounting hardware on it. It's already there, ready to go, centered, and you can just put it on the wall right away and just admire it. Beautiful. It's like a retina display that you can hang on the wall. SizzlPix.com. They're an excellent sponsor of the digital story, and I tell you, when you see a SizzlePix, you'll know that nothing else compares. And I also want to mention our good friends at Red River Paper. Very happy with them right now because I just got back from Southern California, and one of the things that I did while I was visiting family was share a lot of prints with them. I made some 8.5 by 11s and mounted them, 5 by 7s for people's desks, things like that. And they were all on Red River paper. I used Arctic Polar Luster for the bulk of my printing with my Epson R2000. And people just loved the images. They just loved the prints. And because I do it on Red River paper, I know I'm putting it on a quality paper that is going to have good archival qualities. The Epson R2000 is a pigment-based printer. And I just feel like I'm doing something very artistic when I work with that combination. Red River Paper, the longest-running sponsor of the digital story. You can get this fantastic product for about 40% less than the competition, and that's because Red River makes the paper and they sell the paper directly to you. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And they also have a rockin' Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Okay, and last but not least, because I'm running a bit long here, I'm going to have two announcements in the next podcast, our first podcast of 2014. We're going to have a new sponsor coming on board. And I'm pretty proud of myself on this. I have created something. We're going to have a new segment called From the Screening Room. That's a working title right now, but I think I'm going to stick with it. We're going to have a new segment called From the Screening Room, which I think you're really going to like. And I'm very excited about this. And then I have a new gig that I want to talk about because it's going to be of great interest to you. All of this. And I'm going to be at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, on January 7th. So we're going to come out of the chute with a bang. Make sure you join me for all the excitement. I'll be there. I want you to be there with me. Let's get 2014 off to a great start. Until then, take a look at some of these highlights from 2013. And of course, don't forget to get outside and take some pictures. All right. I'll see you next year. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.